devotional service. That is the 10-10. The seed verse of Bhagavad Gita now. Dadavi Buddhi Yopanta. So those two verses, it is that. So then Krishna is assuring that one who is actually taken to this path of the process, then he takes care of him. But one has to be sincere, of course, to follow that instruction. And when Krishna sees that, that he is trying for to achieve that, he is determined, he is trying to follow the instructions, then he will give the intelligence. He says, Deshansatavitranam, Pajatam Vilipuratam, Dadami Vudhiyogantam, Yenamam Kayantikam. So to those who are constantly devoted in serving me with love, I give them the understanding. He gives us that intelligence. And how he gives us that intelligence? By removing the ignorance, which is the next verse. That by my, to show them special mercy, I dwelling in their heart, destroyed the shining lamp of knowledge, the darkness born of ignorance. So, particularly in this Kali Yuga, to get a bona fide spiritual master is not, I wouldn't say just fortunate. Fortunate is a very, it is not even near to what a position that one acquires. It's something that is priceless. Because what does Mahaprabhu tell to Sanatana Goswami after this? He says, Raman Ramite Kaun Bhagyavani. Guru Krishna Prasade Vaya Bhakti Prasade. That to get a spiritual pastor, a bona fide spiritual master, is something like one out of, infinite. If that is the mathematical equation, if it is possible. It is that kind of a rare opportunity. So we must cherish this, we must cherish it. Not just be complacent with the worldly affairs and day-to-day things that goes around and lose that focus. So that is why when by reading, by associating, the intelligence is sharpened to come back to the point, come back to that point. Because we are not able to stay afloat on that point. We are being dragged down, again we have to climb up, again we have to keep that momentum. And then Lord Vaishnava actually explains how this process works. Very nice analog. I wouldn't say analog, but it is a process of surrendering of how he describes. He describes that the guru, who is a bona fide representative of Krishna, he actually comes from the Krishna the Bodh. And he comes with the rope of love. Prema Dhar, Prema Bhakti Sutra. So this rope of love, actually one end is tied to the lotus feet of Krishna and the other end he is holding. And he comes down for the benefit of the conditioned soul who are actually drowning in this dark well of material existence. And when he sees somebody, or in fact not Jesus, when somebody who is conditioned, he is crying to get out of his existence, then the Paramatma, who is the Chaitya Guru, actually makes it in the arrangement in such a way that this person or this soul will meet the Guru or a bona fide devotee. And then the process starts. And then once he takes shelter of the Guru, the Guru actually throws the other end into this well. He is not part of the well, he is above it. So don't, we also take that also, sometimes we lose that conception also. We see so many activities of spiritual masters and devotees and then we think, this is right, this is wrong or whatever. And then we lose that complete focus. He is coming here to actually take us out. So he throws that other end of the rope into the well. So what we have to do? We have to hold it tight. And if you don't hold it tight, or if you are holding it and if you are deviating here and there, any time you use right now. So that is the process, what Bhagavan Swami actually explains. So we have to clasp it very tightly and then he pulls up. This is the process. The Guru does this and he says actually that this is not an easy affair to deliver even one conditioned soul from the fall of Maya. It is so difficult. We don't understand how much toil and torture, pains that the Guru takes to even deliver one disciple. But we don't reciprocate. That is our unfortunate position. So the Guru has to spend gallons and gallons of spiritual blood to deliver just one soul. It is a heavy responsibility. If anyone, if even one conditioned soul is delivered, the guru feels so much happiness. So this is something that I want to end. And therefore what Bhaktivinoda Thakur again plays in another song, this Vaishnava Thakur song, what does he say? He says, Krishna Kumar, Krishna se Kumar, Krishna vite paro, satati ache. Krishna se Kumar, Krishna vite paro, Kumara satati ache. Amito Kangala, Krishna Krishna Bodhi, Tava Pache Pache. That you, so this is that we have to remember that you are carrying Krishna in your heart. Why? Because of that love. That you are able to bind Krishna in your heart, and he is not able to escape because of that love, the spontaneous love that they have. And only you can give me Krishna. So this, therefore, all I can do is I can only cry and just follow you. So this is our position, and therefore we have to remember this. We have to hit this every day to our intelligence. Then we can achieve it from other things. But Prabhupada is telling us, what Sukadeva Goswami is telling us. That is the highest perfection. Nothing else matters. Thank you very much. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki Jai. Jai Vaishnava ki Jai. Okay, I've got you. I forgot about it. Yes, please.
Thank you very much for your class. There's a lot of things. I just wanted to share something which I heard in one of the recent lectures of Radhanath Maharaj. So the point which stood out in the lecture was Prabhupada talks of Bhakti Yoga is the highest quality of perfection. That is what Prabhupada says about attaining love for God. So Radhanath Maharaj said that you cannot love God without loving each and every living entity unconditionally. So this is a practical point, you know, like how we can implement this in our life. We have to love each and every living entity. That is so important. We should be humble. Maharaj put it, Srinada Pisuichena, Sarora Pisaishuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadhanani. So only if you can love each and every living entity and respecting them without expecting any respect from them in return, we can hope to attain love of God. He also quoted from the Bible, Lakshmi, love God with all your might and love your neighbor as you would yourself. He said that. And one more verse, which we can learn from the margins, you know, which we were discussing the other day. Punasya Bhuya Bhagavati Anante Sati Prasanga Chatar Ashrayeshu Mahatsu Yamya Mukhyami Shushti Maitesya Sarvatra Namo Vijayaya. So, we have to learn from these margins, like, how we can attain this perfection. So, Parikshit Maharaj said, even before he met Sukadeva Goswami, you know, he said this, that I want only three things. I want attraction to the Lord, I want association with the devotees, and most importantly, I want friendly relations with all living entities. Only if we have this, can we attain love for God. And this is a very simple and a practical way of implementing devotional service in our lives. This is what I want to share. And one more thing, Prabhuji said about the names of the Lord. There is a small pastime which I just learned a few days back. So, Hanumanji is a very great devotee of Lord Ram. So, Ram and he was sitting with Lord Ram. And Ram and Sita were sitting there, and Hanuman was sitting right in front of Ram. And he was closed, he had his eyes closed, and he was chanting the Lord's name continuously. So after some time, you know, Ram just looked at Hanuman and he smiled, you know. He said, tapped Hanuman and he asked him, Hanuman, I find this a bit strange, you know. All my devotees take my name so that the purpose of taking my name is to attain love for God and to see me eventually, you know, to be with me. Now here you are with me and you are right in front of me and you are attaining my love and still you are closing your eyes and you are still continuing to chant, you know. I find it very strange, isn't it? So Hanuman immediately replied that, you know, God, actually your name is even greater than you. You know, so in your avatar, you have come as Ram and you have benefited maybe a few thousand living entities, but your name has always benefited living entities before you came and it will continue to benefit living entities even much after you have gone also. So that is why I am continuing to chant. So he closed his eyes and continued chanting Ram's name. So that's Hare Krishna.
So I have a question. Sri Prabhupada says that this devotional service to the Lord is always based on love of God and is distinct from the nature of Guru service as prescribed in Dharma Yoga, Jnana Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. So my question is, for me, I don't have love for God and what I am doing is only routine service. So how do I actually get out of this?
What Prabhupada is trying to say that routine activities in these different yogas or karma yoga or this is basically doing activities without any connection with God or not that being the focus. That means, you know, it's like it's like something, some ritual activity that you have to do this, you have to do this, and you're just following that, but there is no aspect of for whom you are doing it. It is just that it has been said that this is like the Vedic ritual you have to follow, but then at the end the purpose is lost. But when we are doing the service to Lord, then that connection is there. So obviously nobody but most of us doesn't develop the love of God at the instant. That is a gradual process. But because we are doing whatever activities we can in connection to Lord, that will come. It is not that, you know, you need love and then you start doing activities. The process is you start doing activities in connection to the Lord, and then hear about this pastimes, hear about, take association of the devotees, surrender to the spiritual master, take his instructions, and then you will achieve that platform. Because that is the highest platform. The love of God is the highest platform, so it is not that cheerful. You have to work for that. So this is the process given to us by the acharyas. So the idea is that yes, we continue to do what we can, but the focus should be there. There is a deity at home, or there is a photo of home of the Lord, but you're not even looking at it. It's like a ritual. You just come, like for example, you're doing your offering, you come into the plate, you keep it, and go out. You don't even look at the Lord. It's not that. The focus is the other way around. The focus is that you're doing it for the Lord. So that point is there in every activity, that consciousness is there, consciousness of this is for the Lord, then automatically, gradually that love of God will be developed. So, so if anybody else can share in addition to this. Is it okay to? Okay, here actually it's the because Prabhupada actually also adds into that all the other dharmas, right? The sannyas dharma or the jati dharma and this that. So like for example, if we I can't think of any particular example as looking for, I mean okay, karma yoga is also in different ways. Okay, here when Prabhupada is saying karma yoga, it doesn't exactly mean that what Prabhupada has said in the Bhagavad Gita, karma yoga in attachment to law. Karma yoga has different meaning also. Karma yoga means just do your karma, do your work, and don't think of any, and don't think of the results. But the next important part is that do your work as an offering to the Lord. That is in itself. So that also is a karma yoga. You do your karma. That's it. But that, so that is kind of a ritual. Routine thing. I have to perform this activity. I will just do that activity. Or you go to the temple, okay, so it's a routine, I come every day, I offer obeisances or whatever, like if what you find in, this is not from a devotee's aspect, what Prabhupada is saying here in the purport, he's saying from a general aspect, that when people come and they say that I'm performing, I'm doing karma yoga, I'm doing dhyana yoga, what is that? It is just that they're following certain rules and regulations, which becomes a routine ritual, without the focus or the purpose of doing that. Or without knowing for whom you are doing it, or without knowing the ultimate goal of why we are doing it. Because it is said, I mean, it is good to do it. It's not that it is not good to do it. But then, at a point, you have to come and inculcate it in that service to the Lord. So without that, everything becomes just simple routine ritual. Sannyas dharma, okay, there are so many rules and regulations of sannyas dharma. You must not associate with the woman, you must be like this, you must do your austerity, do that. But these are all rules and regulations that accomplish it, which even in Bhagavad Gita Krishna says in the whole chapter of what you must do and what you must not do. But what is the reason, what is the purpose behind of doing all this? That should be the focus. And if that is the focus, then the law of God will be developed. Because you are doing it for the Lord. Yat karoji yat asnasi. So that's why Krishna is saying, if you do all the activities in connection to me, for me, then automatically Krishna reciprocates. And when Krishna reciprocates, that reciprocation itself is a loving reciprocation. That is love, the one aspect of love. When you say love, it doesn't mean that you reach like, you know, to the stage of gopis, madhurya love. No, not that. The love is basically when the reciprocation starts. When Krishna reciprocates with the devotee, that itself is a love. So what we, in our terms, in our terminology, what we have been told, what the Acharya said, what Prabhupada says to us, that is what I said, that it may also become a routine if you lose the focus, if you lose the purpose behind it. Like, I don't know, we have temple at home, we have deities, okay, this is Saturday now, I have to dress up the deities, okay, I do it. This Sunday, I have to do this. So that becomes, but then the loving feeling, that if that we lose that, then it becomes routine. That will become ritual. Even the chanting, right? Maharaj has said in so many lectures. Chanting also, we are speaking the 16 syllables. But then if there is no feeling, if there is no point of purpose behind it, that why I am doing it, then it becomes just like any ordinary words. Of course, there is still some benefit about it, because it's still the names of the Lord. But the whole benefit you get is how you approach it, in what consciousness you are doing that activity.
That's why the word skillful is used at the end of that sentence. One who adopts this method skillfully. So there must be, we should use our intelligence to skillfully put forward.
As Swami mentioned, if you look down the purport very carefully, at the end of describing these different routines and then comparing it to the love and surrender of a devotee, Then Prabhupada concludes by saying, one who adopts this method, meaning not the routine method, but the method of sincere devotional service, very skillfully, then he attains the perfection of life at once. So, we are very skillful in many things, and we use our skills based on our intelligence. So, Prabhupada is actually alluding in the purport that one's intelligence, when used for Krishna, in time management, in trying to organize our lives for Krishna, if we do that very skillfully, then we avoid the routine. Otherwise, what happens is that it really, as somebody says, it just desecrates into routine. Then it really becomes karma yoga then. Just to do an action, we perform an action, and it becomes us actually, because then familiarity breeds contempt also. Because we see Krishna, we have seen this deity picture of Krishna many times. So we may not spontaneously or carefully or skillfully remember that this form of Lord is not different from Krishna. Then it becomes routine. So your question is very relevant to all of us actually, because the tendency to do that and then put it into the subset of all other dharmas becomes very real. It can happen.
Thank you for I had one question regarding the point you are mentioning about the modern education. Practically speaking, I myself have appreciation for people who have acquired the degrees from elite institutes. In fact, the proper from such institutes, when they speak of philosophy, it mesmerizes us. Even like, if he is already PhD in some subject and he is speaking, then we expect that it should be more intellectual and systematic lecture. So since this appreciation for modern education is already in place, then I preach, I try to speak to others telling this education is useless. It has no impact practically speaking. It's a kind of hypocrisy where I speak something else and I appreciate something else. For me, it looks like what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he's following his footsteps, that you first acquire all the modern education and then lament for it. That is helpful in modern foreign advancing in curriculum faster. So, is that correct? So,
if Sri Ram Gopadu were to write a comment to your could actually elevate all the others for the reason. Okay. Anyways, to your question, what we said, or what even Prabhupada said, is the flaw in modern education. Not that, that's why Prabhupada says that the modern education, it's not teaching about the basic of the soul and the body, but it is teaching something which can be used in Krishna's service, but it is completely focused on something that is temporary. That is the flaw, and that is why he says it as spiritual slaughterhouses. He doesn't say you don't need to take education as a, that's why even in my Maharaj also in the lecture he says that you can get educated, you can get occupation also, because these are all functions of the society. Right? You need a doctor or you need an engineer or you need this. That's how the society is running today. But the purpose behind that is that is lost. That is only by doing that you are going to be happy or you are going to achieve material happiness. And that is the end of all. That is what is wrong. So therefore, it is not that we don't, or we rather discourage for anybody going to education and not there, don't take any education and be illiterate, not that. But on the other hand, we say that yes, you go, make even, take as much as you can educate, but then use it in the service of Krishna. And that is why, as you said, that you find it mesmerizing. When some devotee is bringing who has got degrees, who has acquired degrees, then he's using that intelligence, whatever he's acquired, in the service of Krishna. So that is perfection. That is what Sukadeva Goswami in the verses are saying. That the highly intellectual, when they surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna, then they will achieve paramagati. Then they will achieve paramagati. It's just that, as per Bhagavatam, intellectual does not only mean those who acquire degrees. That is the point. Prahlad Maharaj says a learned person, or Krishna says a learned person is somebody who knows the nature of the soul, who sees that as part and parcel in all living entities. That is a learned person, full stop. But that doesn't mean that somebody shouldn't go and take acquired knowledge, or you shouldn't acquire education. That is not the point. The point here is that it has to be, the missing point is that this knowledge about the soul or the spiritual knowledge is missed out in the complete whole education system. And therefore if somebody doesn't come to that point, like if I were not over here, I wouldn't even be bothered about spirituality or the soul or whatever. I would be just focusing my mind, my energy completely on how to acquire more money. Even if it's a Sunday or a Saturday, I will think, oh, how to get more money, how to do this, how to do that. And there are so many ways out there that people are trying and trying their best to focus their energy, time, everything in just this one aspect. To accumulate, to get more money, and then they think they will be happy. But that's where the whole focus, that's the whole purpose is lost. So Prabhupada is saying that yes, you can also take big degrees and then use it in the service of Krishna. You can be doctor, you can be engineer and use it in the service of Krishna. We have a few in the hospital. The big doctors acquire big degrees, but then they are using it in the service of Krishna. So that is highest perfection. It's actually the most potent, as you said rightly. Because in today's day and age, if I am an illiterate, nobody will come and hear me even. This is what he has. He doesn't even know what knowledge he has. Even though that person may be speaking perfectly from Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, the pure topmost philosophy, knowledge, everything. But today's day and age is such that they will see what is his material qualification. And therefore, just to give it as an example, Radhachandra, therefore he quotes, isn't it? In all his books, in all his whatever he has written, he is edited by Radhachandra Prabhu, and then he says, IIT so and so, so and so, so and so. Why? It's not that he wants to glorify himself that I am such a big learned person. No. It's because the people out there, when they see that, they get influenced. So, it is not that we are trying to say or discourage that no, education, you don't go for education at all. But we are trying to say that don't lose the purpose behind it. Use that in the service of Krishna. That is the most potent combination actually, in fact, in today's day and age. If you are highly educated and you are a surrendered soul to Krishna, then you can do wonders. You can do wonders. Prabhupada, he was himself so much educated. And he knew every aspect. You see his conversations, you read his so much of notes. He practically knows everything. You talk about medicine, he knows medicine. You talk about some other aspect, he knows that. You talk about sports, he knows sports. So that is, he's using that, whatever knowledge you require in the service of Krishna, that is the most potent ammunition to spread the glories of Krishna. But the basic point is that, yes, you are intellectual or you have the knowledge, and if you are a surrendered soul, then that is perfection. You will achieve one other thing. So if you have promise on aspirations, go on, no worries. Today more degrees, but use it in the service of Krishna, in preaching. That is a good question, because then yes, this becomes a misconception that Islam says, oh, this is, education is useless, so don't educate. Don't educate your children, agree? And our children also we are educating. You don't go to school, don't go to colleges, no need to take any degree, nothing. No, because that is one aspect of it, that is one function of society that has to go on. But the purpose shouldn't be lost. We have to teach our children that what is the goal of life? You are not the body, you are the soul. Krishna is the supreme object of love. Surrender to him. So that aspect has to be always be there in the focus. And you know, if you have something else, so
I have for one more question. So I think for the
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very much for this. As I stated in the verse today that first life comes self-realization and then God realization. My question is, can it be vice versa also? And I have a second question along with that, whom do we love first? Two questions there.
The Prabhupada here is saying that God realization is a more confidential knowledge. Now God realization, the concept of God everybody has. So then that is not God realization. To start with that point. Because yes, I know God is all powerful, almighty. Everyone knows, yes, God is powerful. There is some entity as God also there. But again, the belief, to what extent, to what degree, that is where you come to the God realization stage. It's not just knowing, or just knowing and concept of God is God realization. So to come to that actual aspect of God realization, you have to first know the nature of God. To know the nature of God, you have to know what is your nature. So, therefore automatically, in God realization, even to that step, you automatically first have to come to the self realization stage. That you are the soul and then the super soul. So that will automatically come. Even if somebody is trying to do God, have a God realization, like even in all the other yogas also, the Jnana Yoga also you take, or even the impersonalist you take, they also have, okay, that, you know, the impersonal realization of God, or the Paramatma realization of God. When they also have that, the basic, that they are not his body but they are the soul, that realization comes first. And without that realization, you cannot actually have God realization. Because matter and spirit is something distinct. There is no combination of the two. It's not possible. So when we say God is completely spiritual, to realize something spiritual, you have to realize yourself as also being spiritual. And then you can come to that aspect of God realization. Because to realize God, you have to do certain, you have to surrender to, and you have to follow a process, right, to get God realization. Without any process, you can't realize God. You can have concepts of God in so many different ways, but you can't realize God. To realize God, to know God, you have to follow a process. You have to know Him, you have to read about Him. And therefore when Krishna also in Bhagavad Gita he starts, Sanjaya says, yes, Bhagavan Uvacha. That is from his realization perspective. But Krishna doesn't start that, I am God, and now you follow these instructions. Krishna starts with the knowledge of the soul. That you are not this body, you are the soul. And then gradually develops that in the ninth chapter, where actually the most fundamental, that's where he then says about the God realization, of how to come to that point. That how to manmanava matpatto, yat karoshi yanashnashi, patram pushpam phalam toyam. These are all applications of to come to God realization. But the first thing it starts with that, you are the soul. The self realization aspect. And the second question you come to is that, can you elaborate? I mean, you said that, whom do we love first? Now, when you say whom do we love first, is I don't understand your question actually. So from the aspect of whom do we love first, others or God? Now, again, when you are talking about loving others, when Prabhuji mentioned that point, or even Maharaj also mentioned in the class, he says that you can only love others when you see the glimpse of that spiritual spark, not on the bodily aspect. You can't love everybody on the bodily aspect. That is for sure. If you go on the bodily aspect, you will love somebody because he is beautiful or he is nice, handsome, this and that. You will not love everybody. You can love everyone only when you see that spiritual spark that is part and parcel of God. So when you are doing so as part and parcel of God, you are inherently loving God. To love somebody, is the English saying that Maharaj actually speaks very important, is to love me, you love my dog. It's like that. So by loving someone as a part and parcel of God, you automatically love God. So this is not a question of which comes first. Like if you go, the Prabhupada gives another story that if somebody wants to go and meet the president and get something, if you go and buy a gift for his child, the president is already pleased, isn't it? It's like that. So when you love somebody as part and parcel as a child of God, then God is already pleased. So it is not the question of whether I love God first or love him first. The question is, you are loving on what basis? That is the question. If you are loving on the basis of spiritual aspect, on the spiritual platform, then there is no question of which comes first. That's my understanding, but somebody else can also elaborate on that.
Is it okay?
Thank you very much. Jai Prabhupada ki
jai.
Sabhi ko main yahan pe sun.
Jai Nishri Jai Prabhu ki
jai. Sabko darshan ki jai.
Prabhu Swati ji is Krishna Prabhu hai. Requested us not to come. Because if we jump, you know, then he will come. So he told us to sit down. We'll try and negotiate with him if we come here again. To try and do this very quietly and see, you know, whether he notices the difference or not. But for the moment, Prabhu's Mataji's, perhaps we should end by singing the second song. Because the second song's translation is very much in line with today's purport and the lecture given by Grace Rajesh Prabhu. So this is very nice also. If we can read the translation, then we can go on to read, then we can go on to sing. Let's read the translation together. Mm-hmm.